I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about faith is decisive. Faith is decisive. This is one of the most important lessons, I think, that I've learned on faith, is that nothing happens until we decide. Nothing happens until we commit. As long as we're wavering back and forth, nothing happens. When we get to the moment of a firm decision, think about when we first get started with God, we could be wavering back and forth on whether or not we really believe in Him. But the moment we actually decide to receive that forgiveness from Him, to make Jesus the Lord of our life, everything changes from the moment of decision. And that same principle applies into everything that we receive from God. For example, in James, it tells us that if we're double-minded, we can't expect to receive anything from God. It's getting to this place of a firm decision. And one of the biggest ways I learned this lesson, I was had a time where I went down to the Billy Graham Museum down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we were there looking around. I went down with a friend and we were there looking around. And one thing really just stood out to me while we were there. Billy Graham had this time in his life where he'd been studying his Bible. He had been learning and growing and studying. But people really began to question him. They really began to question him. Do you really think that all those promises in the Bible are true? Some of the promises that people say, oh, that doesn't look true. You know, you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. God's going to supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. All these promises, promises about salvation, promises for every area of life. And people were kind of pushing him and questioning him about these promises, because often they don't look true when we first look at them. And he said he put his Bible out there on a tree stump. He was out in the backyard or in a field. He put his Bible out on a tree stump. And he looked at it and he said, I looked at that Bible. And he said, that was the moment where I decided that everything that was in that book is true. Everything that's in that book is true. And I'm going to decide at this moment that it's true. And he said, from that point on, that's when everything changed. He said his whole life changed from that from the moment of that decision. Now, I've had some times just personally in my life where we're believing for certain things from God. I had a time where we were believing for some new workout equipment in my gym. God had shown me to move some walls around and do some remodeling. And I was planning on putting some new equipment into that area for our business. But I was wavering back and forth on how to pay for the equipment. Do I go to the bank and get a loan? Do I believe God? What do I do? What's the path here? And as long as I wavered, nothing happened. As long as I wavered, nothing happened. But then I finally came to the conclusion, you know what? I'm going to do this God's way. God, what's your plan? What do? I cut off the other options. Part of being decisive means you got to kill off some of the other options. I cut off the other options. Say, God, I'm going to do it your way. What do we do? What's the path forward from here? He began to show me, all right, you need to get clear on what you want. What equipment do you want? So I began to research and find the things that we wanted. I began to print out the pictures of them, get the invoices, the details of how much everything was going to cost. I had it figured out to the penny. And it was going to cost us about $15,000. Then I prayed over it. I felt like God was saying, pray over it, give it to me. Let me worry about it. I prayed over it, gave it to him. That very same day, within about 8 hours, I had somebody come up to me and said, hey, I noticed you're doing some renovations over here. Are you planning on putting equipment over there? I said, yeah, that's my plan. They said, well, how are you going to pay for it? I said, to be honest, I'm not quite sure yet. I didn't tell them all that I was, you know, praying and believing. I said, I'm not quite sure how we're going to pay for this yet. And they said, you know what? I'll pay for it. And they wrote me a check that day for $15,000. Within 8 hours of coming to a firm decision, things began to change. But as long as I wavered, nothing happened. Faith is decisive. We're going to have to decide that these promises God has made us are true and become unwavering in that. Faith is decisive. So we're going to be taking communion over this today, asking for God's help to become more decisive in what we're doing. But why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir the sacrifice of Jesus into our mind in remembrance, to make it active and relevant and alive today in this present moment. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is this activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of his sacrifice and pull that into our mind and remembrance and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the cracker and the juice. When we take that remembrance and we combine it with something physical that we actually do, there's a conversion, there's a turning and conversion that happens in our body. I don't know how to fully explain it just yet, but there's something that happens in our physical body when we have something that we actually do to release our faith into. But it's also important we take communion the right way. Every day to take it with the fear of the Lord, just that deep honor and respect and appreciation for Jesus and his sacrifice and for all that God went through to connect us back to him. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. The Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. Now, after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical workout tips and advice, because I truly believe physical exercise, one of the greatest ways to practice exercising our faith, to receive this grace by faith and experience God doing the work through us, where we rest in our soul and we allow him to do the work through us. One of the greatest ways for us to practice this. Then once we understand how to do it, we can practically apply that into all the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, all of our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. Keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let's talk about the other half of prayer. This is time to examine ourselves. And are we making today a masterpiece? How are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. We're going to walk out our day connected to him. Because we have to have this eternal perspective with God. But we've got to bring that perspective down into today. Our relationship with God's got to impact today. It's got to impact the decisions that we make, the actions that we take, the words that we speak. Everything we do has got to have an impact on our life today. That's where we talk about executing our four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into these fundamentals today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day, we got to reposition ourselves back into the light. This is the on-off switch, on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. So we're going to take our position in humility today. Because it's the humble that are given grace. It's the humble that are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with ourselves. And we're going to forgive other people. Give them the same grace God has given us. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best. Keeping no record of wrong. Always hoping, always trusting, always persevering. Because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith. And one of the easiest ways to maintain that positioning all day long. Because life is trying to pull us out of position. One of the easiest ways to keep our position, to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. And when we take that position, we're stepping into the light. We're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything he had and he put it all in Christ. He poured it all out in him. And we get to be in him today. So when we take our position, we've got access today to God's spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his kingdom, his purpose, his mind and wisdom. His health and energy, his time and finances become part of his family. It's all in there in Christ. So first we've got to get positioned in it. And then we're going to start to magnify it so that more of it can flow through us. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And we're going to expand that capacity where God can flow more of all those good things through us. And to magnify, it's all about what we're focused on. Where is our focus and attention throughout the day? What are we meditating on? When I think of meditation, I think of repetition. What are the things that I'm repeating over and over? What are the thought patterns, the things I'm consistently speaking, the habits I'm consistently doing? What am I meditating on throughout the day? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, his unfailing love, his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives because of Jesus. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us and stay focused on whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. Looking back at how far God has brought us. Looking at all he's already done for us in our lives. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. Choosing to bring those issues, and we're going to pull them into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. I always think of David and Goliath when I think of this. Everybody else is magnifying the size of Goliath. Well, David looks Goliath in the face, and he magnifies God as bigger than Goliath. And that's the difference. But God does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, looking out for ourselves, putting all the pressure on ourselves and magnifying the size of the issues and problems rather than magnifying God. We could try to do life without God, where we try to figure it all out ourselves. And that's where we've got to recognize the symptoms. When we're positioned in darkness or magnifying darkness, here's some of the symptoms that we might experience. It might be the tendency to retaliate at people, to snap at them, or I'm going to withhold good things that I know to do because somebody said something, somebody did something, who knows what it was. So I'm not going to do that for them. We might avoid people. We might give them the silent treatment or withdraw our presence. And that's not the way of love. That's not the way of that unconditional love and grace. That's not the way God has treated us. We got to learn to receive that from him and let it flow through us to other people. And when we're in darkness, you'll feel this heaviness and pressure, like all the weight is sitting on you on the inside. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Another big symptom is low energy. I think of it like a black hole that just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. There's the dread of the future. We're sitting there toiling away about things in the future that may never even happen. There's confusion about what to do or which direction to go because when we're in the dark, we can't see. We get stuck in these vicious cycles that just keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there is this rest in our soul. It's like that weight just lifts off you on the inside. There's this lightness that comes into your spirit. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. Your energy levels rise up. And all of a sudden, we've got God's peace and his joy and his spirit and his power and his mind and wisdom all begin to flow. It's this beautiful thing. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever get off track, just takes a moment to turn it right back around and get back in position again. How do we do it? Number one, it's recognizing the symptoms. It's recognizing, wait a minute, I'm off track right now. And we humble ourselves before God. Father, forgive me. I've missed it right now. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. And if we need to say we're sorry to somebody else, or we need to reconcile a relationship, we take those steps. And then we start praising and thanking God for his grace and his goodness and his love. And that what he put within us is more than enough to handle whatever is coming at us today. And immediately you take those steps. You feel that weight lift off you on the inside. You feel your energy levels and your faith and your courage rise up. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to flow through you again. All of a sudden. And then we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us. But we got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. I like to start by writing out, what am I grateful for? To get my positioning. And then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are the ways I saw God showing up in my life today? And then it's good to examine our symptoms. How was my positioning? How was my focus? What was I magnifying today? And I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen for a few minutes, and whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write that down. Recording our journey. Something powerful happens when you get it out of your head and onto the paper. You get it out of your head, you speak it into the world. You got to physically express it out into the world. Something powerful happens in our physical bodies that helps us to remember and not forget when we do that. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day because he's trying to lead us and guide us and navigate us through the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection to him, just slow down literally for 1 minute, 1 to 2 minutes. Get present, get connected to him again. Just plug back into him. It just doesn't take long. And then the last thing I like to do is to plan the upcoming day with God before I go to bed. And what I've learned to do is to stick with what I know to do. Sometimes I was getting ahead of God. I was asking for his leading or guidance on things, but I wasn't waiting for him to show me. And so I would just take action and do whatever I thought was best anyway. And I would waste a bunch of time. I'd have to redo a bunch of stuff. On the other side, sometimes I would get behind God, because I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. There is this perfect timing and rhythm in our relationship with him. And what I've learned to do is, what do I know to do today? Now begin to write out, what's on the to-do list? What do I know needs to happen today? Anything in my conscience, anything I'm procrastinating on? Anything I have a leading or excitement from God that I know to do today? We write out that plan, and then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning. Excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. We're going to walk out this day together in partnership with God, connected to him. We're going to start praising and thanking him right away, start magnifying him. And then we're going to walk out that plan with him with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in him. Confidence is that place where all the doubt and unbelief is removed. We've made this decision, this firm decision that God's with us. And when we get to that place of this confident faith, it does something like magnetize us. That grace begins to flow and he begins to beautify our lives as we rest and he does the work. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So faith is decisive. Jesus says, those who decide, but then they look back, they're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Having decisive faith. Think about that example of Billy Graham. He said that was the moment that changed everything. That's how it works for salvation. That's how it works for healing. That's how it works for finances. That's how it works in every area. This is an important principle that we have to understand. You got to come to the place of a firm decision. So, Father, we're asking for your help today. If there's any areas that we're wavering back and forth on and we're not receiving from you the way that we should be, we're asking for your help to help us to firm up our decisions and not look back. To firm up our decisions that what you said is true. We're just so grateful for this time here together with you today. For the sacrifice of Jesus and all that you did, that he did, to give us life, to connect us back to you. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he said, take it. Receive it, that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight. He wants to help today. The cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of his blessing. So, Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's this new covenant. We get to have this covenant relationship with God. We can know him. Just experience his love and his grace today. Father, we thank you for this cup. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right. So one of the ways we can apply this principle of being decisive is in our health. So I've seen this a lot, working with people in health and fitness for a lot of years. People waver. People are thinking about eating better. They're thinking about starting to exercise, but they procrastinate and they put it off and put it off and put it off, and it's never the right day. We got to stop wavering. We got to make a decision. Are we going to do this or not? Are we going to start eating better or not? Are we going to start exercising or not? Let's make a decision. And then we can use a gentle approach. We can make a commitment to it, but we can use a gentle approach on the other side. Turn it into something we really enjoy doing. We've got to stop wavering. And we've got to make this decision, and we've got to stick to our decisions. We're going to make that decision, and then we're going to trust God to navigate us from that point on. But you got to get to that place of decision. I see this a lot of times. People procrastinate. Oh, I'm thinking about coming to see you. I'm thinking about starting to exercise. Well, stop thinking about it and just start. Do something. Stop wavering and just get started. And we'll figure it out as we go from there. But nothing happens as long as we waver. So I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.